Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. This is David Flack from Winchester, Virginia. Today is April 19th, and we are reading through the Bible.
Thank you, Dr. David Flack, my brother, and welcome to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are reading through the Bible. That's something we do every day. We take a little time in God's Word. We let God's Word take a little time on us. And oh, how we need that. No doubt about that. Well, hey, my friend, today we are in the book of 1 Samuel once again, chapter 22. We move on to Psalm 17, Psalm 35, and then on to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And we are reading through the New Living Translation. What do you say we jump right in? 1 Samuel chapter 22. David at the cave of Adullam. Oh, I can't wait to read this. I was recently in the area of En-Gedi, following up through these streams where many of these caves are located. And oh, how my mind went thinking about this story. Let's read about it here. 1 Samuel chapter 22. We're reading through the New Living Translation. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming. Men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented. Until David was the captain of about 400 men. Later, David went to Mizpah at Moab, where he asked the king, "Please allow my father and mother to live here with you until I know what God is going to do for me." So David's parents stayed in Moab with the king during the entire time David was living in his stronghold. One day the prophet Gad told David, "Leave the stronghold and return to the land of Judah." So David went to the forest of Hareth. The news of his arrival in Judah soon reached Saul. At the time, the king was sitting beneath the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, holding his spear and surrounded by his officers. "Listen here, you men of Benjamin," Saul shouted to his officers when he heard the news. "Has that son of Jesse promised every one of you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you all generals and captains in his army? Is that why you have conspired against me? For not one of you told me when my son made a solemn pact with the son of Jesse. You're not even sorry for me. Think of it, my own son encouraging him to kill me, as he is trying to do this very day." Then Doeg, the Edomite who was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up. "When I was at Nob," he said, "I saw the son of Jesse talking to the priest, Ahimelech, son of Ahitub. Ahimelech consulted the Lord for him. Then he gave him food and the sword of Goliath the Philistine." King Saul immediately sent for Ahimelech and all his family who served as priests at Nob. When they arrived, Saul shouted at him, "Listen to me, you son of Ahitub." "What is it, my king?" Ahimelech asked. "Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me?" Saul demanded. "Why did you give him food and a sword? Why have you consulted God for him? Why have you encouraged him to kill me, as he is trying to do this very day?" "But, sir," Ahimelech replied, "is anyone among all your servants as faithful as David, your son-in-law? Why, he is the captain of your bodyguard and a highly honored member of your household. This was certainly not the first time I have consulted God for him. May the king not accuse me and my family in this matter, for I knew nothing at all of any plot against you." "You will surely die, Ahimelech, along with your entire family," the king shouted, and he ordered his bodyguards, "Kill these priests of the Lord, for they are allies and conspirators with David. They knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me." But Saul's men refused to kill the Lord's priests. Then the king said to Doeg, "You do it." So Doeg the Edomite turned on them and killed them that day, 85 priests in all, still wearing their priestly garments. Then he went to Nob, the town of the priests, and killed the priests' families. Men and women, children, and babies. And all the cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. Only Abiathar, one of the sons of Ahimelech, escaped and fled to David. When he told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord, David exclaimed, "I knew it. When I saw Doeg the Edomite there that day, I knew he was sure to tell Saul. Now I have caused the death of all my father's family. Stay here with me, and don't be afraid. I will protect you with my own life, for the same person wants to kill us both." Psalm 17, a prayer of David. O Lord, hear my plea for justice. Listen to my cry for help. Pay attention to my prayer, for it comes from honest lips. Declare me innocent, for you see those who do right. You have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night. You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say. I have followed your commands, which keep me from following cruel and evil people. My steps have stayed on your path. I have not wavered from following you. I am praying to you because I know you will answer, O God. Bend down and listen as I pray. Show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By your mighty power you rescue those who seek refuge from your enemies. Guard me as you would guard your own eyes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me from wicked people who attack me, from murderous enemies who surround me. They are without pity. Listen to their boasting. They track me down and surround me, watching for the chance to throw me to the ground. They are like hungry lions eager to tear me apart, like young lions hiding in ambush. Arise, O Lord, stand against them. Bring them to their knees. Rescue me from the wicked with your sword. By the power of your hand, O Lord, destroy those who look to the world for their reward. But satisfy the hunger of your treasured ones. May your children have plenty, leaving an inheritance for their descendants. Because I am righteous, I will see you. When I awake, I will see you face to face and be satisfied. Psalm 35, a psalm of David. O Lord, oppose those who oppose me. Fight those who fight against me. Put on your armor and take up your shield. Prepare for battle and come to my aid. Lift up your spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Let me hear you say, I will give you victory. Bring shame and disgrace on those trying to kill me. Turn them back and humiliate those who want to harm me. Blow them away like chaff in the wind, a wind sent by the angel of the Lord. Make their path dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. I did them no wrong, but they laid a trap for me. I did them no wrong, but they dug a pit to catch me. So let sudden ruin come upon them. Let them be caught in the trap they set for me. Let them be destroyed in the pit they dug for me. Then I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad because he rescues me. With every bone in my body I will praise him. Lord, who can compare with you? Who else rescues the helpless from the strong? Who else protects the helpless and poor from those who rob them? Malicious witnesses testify against me. They accuse me of crimes I know nothing about. They repay me evil for good. I'm sick with despair. Yet when they were ill, I grieved for them. I denied myself by fasting for them, but my prayers returned unanswered. I was sad as though they were my friends or family, as if I were grieving for my own mother. But they are glad now that I am in trouble. They gleefully join together against me. I am attacked by people I don't even know. They slander me constantly. They mock me and call me names. They snarl at me. How long, O Lord, will you look on and do nothing? Rescue me from their fierce attacks. Protect me from these lions. Then I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I'll praise you before all the people. Don't let my treacherous enemies rejoice over my defeat. Don't let those who hate me without cause gloat over my sorrow. They don't talk of peace. They plot against innocent people who mind their own business. They shout, "Aha! Aha! With our own eyes we saw him do it." O Lord, you know all about this. Do not stay silent. Do not abandon me now, O Lord. Wake up, rise to my defense. Take up my case, my God and my Lord. Declare me not guilty. O Lord, my God, for you give justice. Don't let my enemies laugh about me and my troubles. Don't let them say, "Look, we got what we wanted. Now we will eat him alive." May those who rejoice at my troubles be humiliated and disgraced. May those who triumph over me be covered with shame and dishonor. But give great joy to those who came to my defense. Let them continually say, "Great is the Lord, who delights in blessing his servant with peace." Then I will proclaim your justice, and I will praise you all day long. Matthew chapter 6, teaching about giving to the needy. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues, where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Don't store up treasure here on earth where moth eats them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies in the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. May God add His blessing to this, the reading of His word. Amen. Hey, what are you looking at? Where's your eye being drawn? What light is filling your eye? Are you looking at the world? Is that what's got your eye? Well, if that's the case, then I can probably tell you this. Your thoughts are dominated by things like worry about your survival, what you eat and drink and what you wear and what people think of you, people's admiration and opinion of you. The world's real good at helping you to keep your eye on yourself. Jesus says that your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. You see, your eye is like a lamp, Jesus says. What you're looking at Well, that's what's going to light your life, and it's going to fill your whole body. And if your eye is fixed on you, fixed on the things of this world, then chances are you are trapped. And there's precious little reward for that kind of focus in our life. No, a life that has our eye fixed on ourselves leads to a life that's focused on worry and on our past. And self-obsessed worry and regret has a way of filling our whole life and dominating us. Jesus says, when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body's filled with darkness. And he seems to have a special warning for us religious folks. He says, if you think the light you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. That religious light that you insist on parading in front of others. The way you love to co-opt God in order to draw attention to you. Well, that, my friend, is a deep darkness. But Jesus, well, he wants to invite us into a different way. A way that goes beyond worry and self-obsession and allows us to step into a life of trust and rest in God. A God-focused life. When we focus our eye there, we find a Father who knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows our private motivations, and he still loves us. Our Father sees us, and he lets us know that we are far more valuable to him than we can dare to imagine. When you know that you're loved that way, you can afford to take your eyes off of you and actually begin to take a good look at someone else. Maybe even serve someone else, honor someone else, love someone else. You see, a God-focused life has a way of seeing other people and loving other people. So when we look at him, when our eyes and our lives are fixed on him, his light will fill the whole body, Jesus said. It'll start to shine in all those untouched areas of our life. He'll shine his gracious light, merciful light, into our past, and he'll shine his healing light upon our wounds. Because Jesus says, our eye is like a lamp that provides light for the body. So what's your eye lighting upon? Is it yourself or is it him? My friend, I want his light to fill my eye, and then it will fill my body. It'll fill my imagination and my soul, and I will be made new. That's the prayer of my heart today, that I'll keep my eye fixed on him. He who loves me far more than I dare to imagine, and that I'll allow his light to fill my very being. That's the prayer I have for my soul. That's the prayer I have for my wife, my daughters, my son, and that's the prayer I have for you. May it be so. Hey, dailyradiobible.com. That's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs. And it's always such a cool thing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. What an absolute honor it is to share this time with you. It really is. I can't believe we get to do it. Speaking of that, I want to send a shout out to a new listener, Yvonne. Yvonne, thanks so much for writing in. Let's keep at it, my friend. God has a word for us each day, and that word is good. And to my brother Douglas Hyman in the beautiful land of Tennessee, what an honor it is to spend breakfast with you each morning since 2014. I tell you, that just blows me away, Douglas, when I hear stuff like that. So whether you've been with us 1 week or 2 years, may God continue to draw our eye to him as we hear his word each day. Well, hey, my brothers and my sisters, I would love for you to sign up for our newsletter. It comes out about once a month. You can do that right from the app itself. Another thing you can do from the app is share the app. We made that real simple. All you have to do is click on that icon that says share the app. There are so many people out there who are hungry for the word. People that may just want to join you on this journey. So share the app with someone. It's free. Hey, another thing is this, our Facebook page. Would you like our Facebook page and repost our post on your Facebook wall? Share our posts. Give this stuff away. It's free. Like I said, there are people out there who just need a little encouragement in the Word each day. And that's what we're all about here, just trying to draw some focus to Jesus, to His Word, to how faithful and good He is to us each day. Well, hey, we've done it again, haven't we? We've spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's continue to keep our eye on Him. And let's remember this, that you, my friend, are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.